Oh, Hashem, starting a new maamar on page 63. It's so beautiful and it's so important. These are the only we talk about all the time to focus on this nekuda. Simchas ish ben nekudas chayim hashayeches shalom. Really, it's the mafteach, the key to simchas chayim. Simchas ish, for each person to have simcha ben nekudas chayim, in that point of life, which is his point of life. Kashin is boinim in hatzad. Kashin is boinim in hatzad, b'mayreches ta'aluches o'ilom shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we try to look at things in the way we were talking about in the first maimer, and through the eyes of Chachma in a bigger way, from the side, and to take a look in how Hashem has both made the world. Navchen ki kol yitzir mevatzea tafkid mesuyam hamyuchadlai. We see that every single thing that exists, everything in the world, everything that exists, carries out a particular tafkid, has a role, has a job to carry out in this world. Mimenu chiyusai v'simchasai. The whole chiyus of that nivra, of that piece of Hashem's world, the whole chiyus, its entire simcha, depends on this, on carrying out this tafkid, this role, this job that it has in creation. Yimenu chiyusa v'simchosai. V'hemenu ba al sipuk ra'avayin v'tzima'o navsha. And it's the only way that that nivra can satisfy the hunger and the thirst of its soul. That's the only way. By carrying out its tafkid. By being involved in that tafkid, in that job, in that assignment, in that mission that Hashem Yisbarach has given it. Hashem is Baruch Menaveh Kol Adam. Hashem is Baruch guides and directs each person. Ba'alfei nesibos hachayim, throughout the thousands and thousands of circumstances of a person's life. Every single day. All the different things, everywhere we go, whatever we see. It's so interesting how somebody ended up with this profession, or this living in this place and marrying that person, and what school, and who the parents are, and who they met here and where they went there. All of the thousands of nasibas, each person's mamish, a megillah. And all of those nasibai sachayim, all of those circumstances of life are all for one thing. Hashem is giving you a chance. He's being makar of you. He's drawing you closer and closer. He's trying to guide you and help you to fulfill as Adova Hamasuyim, that thing. Sha'oisai Olov Lahafik Minakoy Halapol, that you were given in this world to carry out. Alapol, Lamaisa. Ubizel Losais Chelk of Yeshuva Shalom. And in that way, to contribute your chelik in the Yeshuv of this world on a very simple level, the Yeshuv of this world. That this world should be a place that's miyushav, according to Hashem as well. And of course, on a deeper level, to do your share and make your little corner in which the Shekhinah can be comfortable. May etzem b'yosa, and therefore, in order to carry this job out, in order to do what the person needs to do, besides that Hashem is brought, takes you here and puts you there and so on. Besides all of that, me'etzem b'yosa natua bo teva sharashi. Each person has a specific teva, a certain teva, a nature. Teva sharashi, an essential teva that a person has, kishrein, certain skill, certain talent, unetia, certain inclinations, Hamaviyam Aisai, that have the ability, all of these ingredients of a person that he's created with. Hamaviyam Aisai Bidiyuk Elamakom She'elav Shayach, that can bring him, if used properly, can bring him Bidiyuk, exactly, to what he needs to do, to where he needs to go, to what he has to carry out and accomplish in this world. will be Yeser Einik on a deeper level. Hashem is Baruch Yotzer Asa'odim B'Demusa Ketzalmai. Each one of us is created in the Tzelem and the Demus, in the image of Hashem. V'akein Yesh B'Mimidas Kainai. And because of that, we, more than anything else that exists, bear a certain resemblance, kivyachal, to the Creator. So the same way that Hashem is Baruch created everything, in a way of yesh, something, me'ayin, from nothing, kach nota bebruo v'serotzim lasek ba'ayin, so too Hashem has implanted deep, deep within each and every one of us this tremendous rotzim to take something that's ayin, to come into a situation where there isn't, haynu dvarim sha'adayin miyachlim l'tikun l'pula, to come into a matzav where there isn't, and there's a need for somebody to come and to fix and to repair and to plant and to build and to create and to develop and to design, and to come into that vacuum, into that place of ayin, of emptiness, la'asoysam yesh, and to make something out of nothing. The same with Hashem, of course, we can't know. Everything we do is yesh mi'yesh. It's just, only Hashem makes yesh mi'ayin. But, as a mashal, the same way that kivyachal Hashem is Baruch created the world yesh mi'ayin, each and every one of us has the deepest, deepest need to create, to be involved in that way, in that mahalach of yesh mi'ayin, to be in a matzav of ayin, yesh, to make yesh out of that nothingness, out of that emptiness. And each person, with his kaychas, with his kishreinus, with his family background, and all of the things in his life, where he comes from, where he goes, and everything, is to come to that point of making yesh from ayin. Whatever that is. Aidei kiruvam el shlemusam. By bringing that which is in his tchum, in his domain, which is his mission and assignment, by bringing that to a state of shleimus, where there was nothing, there was emptiness, bringing that to shleimus. Mikan chedvas hayetzira, hanatua b'kol nivra. And from here we understand the great joy of creativity that is planted, that's infused into every nivra, into everything that exists. A chedvas hayetzira. The joy that comes with a person with his own hands, being poil, some sort of a tikkun in Hashem is Baruch's world. I saw in a sefer, I don't remember where it would say this, was that there was a, there's an Adam Godel that said, a Bal Musa, it was a Musa sefer, and the Bal Musa was someplace in Eretz Yisrael. He went to visit, and he was walking with one of the Yidden there after shul, and there was a whole procession going on at some house over there. I don't know which town it was in Eretz Yisrael, and they were walking with an oren. There was a mace. It was a dead person. They were carrying the oren by the house. So this Adam Godel, this Mashgiach, this Tzaddik, he asked this Yid from over there, what's going over there? There's a mace by the house? What is it? They were making like hakafets by the house. They were going with a mace. So the Yid told him that this Jew, he left in his tzava, in his will, that he would like, before they take him to the cemetery, listen to this, that before they take him to the cemetery, that they should make 7 hakafas around his garden, because he spent 50, 60 years working in that garden, planting there and growing flowers and fruits or whatever he made there. And he had such a kesha to that garden that he asked that when he dies that they should make hakafas over there to go by the garden to walk around. So this Bal Musa, it's not a good thing, that's not what we do. But the Bal Musa took from that, he said, such a thing that a person had such a chiyus from planting and from growing things and from seeing, you know, seeing the things that he worked at. Seeing it's an unbelievable simcha that a person has. This is what's called chedvas hayetzira, the joy of creating something. And it doesn't have to be some big, you know, complicated thing. Whatever each person his madrega. And that's what he says. Even if it's a small thing, even if it's a kleinigkeit. But that was his inyan at that time in his life, to be able to be poel such a thing in Hashem's world. Yesh me'ayin. That was his inyan. Hein Yehudi habayna elamas v'chidushim besugis hashas. This applies from the highest level of person who comes up with a big Talmud Chacham, who comes up with all kinds of chidushim and shas, whatever it is, all kinds of big things. Hein avrech shapal tesefes havana bechanich tzair hazokut l'kach. And also a person, a young man, who helps a child understand something, to help another person understand something in learning that he didn't understand. And to same thing, a person who with his own hands was able to clean his street, that the street should be more pleasant and more comfortable for people to walk on, to see. Heina keres habayis, shehifika m'maitzrei mazon, a housewife, who was able to take the different foods, the different ingredients, and she was able to take this and to put this with that and here and there, this and that, mixed it up, put into the oven, piff, comes out a whole delicious thing. A tremendous feeling of simcha, of chedvas hayitzira, of accomplishment. All the way to a little child, the happiness that a child has, playing with Legos and making something, a puzzle, or building something, a migdal, a little tower with his toy. Like it says in Torah, whatever, from the biggest job to the smallest job, there's that chedva, that joy of yesh me'ayin, of yitzira, of using one's koiches and one's kishroinus. The saddest people in the world are people who are bored, who have nothing to do and don't know what they're doing and have no tachlis and no tafka. Those are the saddest people in the world. That's why everybody was expecting that as the world got easier, every life got so much easier. A friend of mine that was collecting money for yeshiva, he was here for the yeshiva, he was a manal of yeshiva, and this goes back, must be, he told me this maybe 25, 30 years ago, he went to California, and right now the community in California has grown very, very, there's a tremendous amount of maizdis there and learning and shuls and everything. But he went to collect, and he's trying to go to Jewish people, though not necessarily from, to help out with this maizda. And he was going by, I remember him describing to him, he went to these very wealthy neighborhoods, I don't know, like Beverly Hills and these places, went very, very wealthy. And he said he was going to these Jewish families, and he was going to raise money for the yeshiva, but he was spending a lot of time talking to the kids in these homes. And he said that it was a pachad, that like they had nothing to do with their lives. Like they had these pools and tennis courts in their backyards, and they're like hanging out a little bit, and there was like an emptiness that. I guess it eventually caught up over here to the East Coast, but things usually begin over there and they cross up. And he said that, you know, he went there to get, he ended up spending most of his time trying to be mashpia, to talk to kids. He says, and young people, married people that didn't have children yet, but the wealthier the chevra, he thought there was like such an emptiness, and we thought that life was going to become much more pleasant, and there was going to be more simcha sachai. But reality proves that that's not what simcha comes from. Simcha comes from accomplishing, from building. So the guy that had his little garden over there someplace in Givatayim, wherever that was, So he's making seven hakafas. After he died, he had such a simcha from his garden. And this kid's sitting someplace, and he's got a mansion. He never touched the garden because he's got 14 gardeners that come work there every day. And he doesn't know what he means to mow the lawn. So what kind of a simcha does he have? He doesn't have anything. So people look for simcha in all different kinds of ways. We know this is something that the world is struggling with. That's why this with all the different tzatzkalich and everything else. Be'emes amru, ilo hoya adam yoshev b'yar yomim rabim. People say that if somebody would be sitting in a forest for many days, l'loy daigis, and he wouldn't have any daigis, he's sitting, he doesn't have anything to worry about. Af sham hayomayt salay pu'ulim b'siyem eshiyesh b'lasaki and dover. Say a person is all set up and whatever, he had to be in that place, and he's sitting in a forest, and he has no daigis, he has whatever he needs to eat, and he's in a cabin someplace, and he's comfortable, he has whatever he needs. So he would also think of something he could do. At some point, he wouldn't be able to take it anymore. And he would find something he could do, sheyesh batikun dover, to fix something, to make something. Ulahaviyom in hatoyu el hatikun. To take something out of a place of tohu, of emptiness, and to bring it into the world of tikkun, of yesh. He would look for something. Even though, let's say, he's a guy that never did anything, like with his hands. I remember when I was a kid, I lived in Eretz Yisrael, and we had in the school, in the yeshivas, and there was one period a week, it was called Melechas Yad. It was like a workshop. Yes, no, so everybody had different, there were different things. So I was doing with wood cutting. Now, I never did in my life, when we were growing up, we went to play basketball. We didn't have in yeshiva, recess was that there were like 70, 80 guys, and there was an old rabbi that sat on a chair with a whistle, reading a Yiddish newspaper, and he would just throw the ball, and we were like piranhas, like we would go, and then there were two baskets, and we were just fighting who would get to throw it up to the, and then at some point, if he was awake, sometimes he wasn't awake, and we had actually 10, 15 minutes, so he would blow the whistle, and then we went back to Yishida. We never had anything like, so here in Yishida, they had this thing, this workshop, and the Israelis were murdered, they know how to do that stuff, they're doing that all the years, and I never in my life held anything to cut or to do any of these things in the game. And I remember there was this guy Baruch in my class, and I saw that this is going to be, my father was so proud of me. I told him I have workshop and I'm working there. My father said, he was so proud that I was finally doing something, my hands into. But the emphasis, I was botching up one thing after the other, and the guy was getting so angry he had to give me a new piece of wood each time, and I was messing it up. And then I realized that there's no tachlis. So I took some game that I had, or some toy, whatever I had, and I gave it to Baruch. And I paid him, I bribed him to make me, he should make a thing for me. It was a little like a ayala, like a little deer or something like that. And on a stand. And I gave Baruch some kind of American tchotchke, he was all excited. He made this thing for me. And then I brought it home. And my father's going out of his kelim. And I didn't have the heart. I said no. I had this whole thing that I was going to, I made this, and then I said, no, I paid an Israeli guy, My father's like, you couldn't buy it. You do the best you can. You don't have to make someone else do it. So I said, I want you to be proud, and I don't know how to do anything. Like, two left hands, not even, I'm Amos, a lefty. But I have three or four left hands, and I can't do anything like that. But a person who's in a matzav, where if chalila, you don't have any svarim, and you're stuck someplace, and you like this, so there's a deep, deep need of a person to be oisik in taking tohu and making it into tikkun, of taking ayin and making it into yesh. And most of us here in America have not been in situations where we were forced to come up with stuff like that, to do things like that. That's just not how we were raised, for the most part. In Eretz Yisrael, whatever that was, 40 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, so it was still behind, and that was, maybe they still do that, I don't know, but that's what we did back then. And it's a tremendous, I mean, I didn't experience it because I didn't make that thing, but for people who simple things like that, there's also tremendous joy that comes with that. Even cleaning something up that was dirty. Before Pesach, we did, my wife and I, the garage was putting off ready for a couple of years, and we spent 2 or 3 days with the garage clean. You know, I kept on putting it off and this and that, and I'll do it and this and that, and in the end they said, no, okay, we'll do it, and it feels good. There's a joy that comes with that. With putting things in Seder, when it was Tohu, and making Seder out of Tohu, there's a tremendous simcha. Hashem Yisbach made each person that way. If a person doesn't need that, he's not healthy. If a person doesn't have a need for that, there's something wrong. That's not a normal situation. Kidav is a natur b'sharasha. Because this is planted deep in the sherish of a person. We're in Hashem's image. We're creators. Neitel haya pisas eitz, and if a guy is stuck in the forest, even a guy with two left hands, but he's stuck in the forest, and there's nothing to, so asher noshu v'yavshu, something that fell that off and it got dry, the gulf of alachter batsuris, the kavim noim, carve, make nice, something to make a shape, and to make something nice out of it. U'bakach lufal bo ha'aloh, something to make this place in Hashem's world something more beautiful, something nice. And he feels a tremendous simcha doing that. And if somebody would go there and would say to him, would try to talk him out of it. That, what are you doing over here? That's not that doesn't become a person like you. You're a big executive. You're a big Londoner. You're something. You're back in the city. You have a company and you have 10,000 people working under you. You're sitting over here with a little knife carving out pieces of wood. What's the matter with you? Someone says, what tachlis is there? A person like you in carving a piece of wood and making some kind of a little thing. What's the point of that? You're not going to sell this. You're not going to make any money from this. A person who tries to do that, as chayev hu naito, it's like taking someone's life away, taking away his meaning in life. Lehaven ikara v'sharshes l'adam. That person who's trying to talk the other guy out of it doesn't understand bechlal what the sharish of a person is. That deep sharish of a person. Keep page 64. Keep parnasa. The meaning of parnasa. Ain't rak parnasa's ksafim. Parnasa is not only parnasa's ksafim, just making money. Kim gam parnasa's anefesh. Parnasa means to sustain, the farnes. And even though, of course, everybody's saying all the time, I wish I didn't have to go anywhere, I wish I didn't have to work, I wish I could be home all the time, I didn't have to go here and do this and do that. The emes is that the parnasa is not only a matter of earning a living, it's even interesting the word in English, living. Go to work. What do you do at work? I earn a living. So the pshat is that's what you have to live. But on a deeper level, living itself consists of being creative, of doing something. So there's a panosis hanefesh. It's not just the money. Ha'idei ha'oris hanorba. K'mesh ha'machaz, obviously we spoke many times, Yisrael mefanis and levim shebishamayim. U'keshem shedochak, shedchak la'oni l'loy mamon. In the same way that God forbid a person who is poor, and it's very, very hard for him without money, kach tchak lenefesh lelo chedves yitzira. In other words, the same way that the poor person just needs panasa, just the pshat, of Parnasa. He needs to live. He needs to make a living because he needs to live. So too, there's a need of the soul. The same way the poor person needs to eat, and he needs to get something so he can buy something to eat, and to have a drink, or to be able to sleep or something, so too there's a need of a human being. To create and to be mefandis himself by doing something. And if he doesn't, the same way that the poor person is starving for food, God forbid, so a human being starves for this parnasa, a living, a tachlis in life, to do something. Tehei asher tehei. Whatever it is, tehei asher tehei. Hamagalaf biyar, carving a piece of wood in the forest. Mefanis mechayin nafsha. He never thought about it in that way, but it's mamish, it's mechayin. It gives him a chiyus that he's doing something, he's creating something, he's making something. My father, as Augustine said, that the name of concentration camp. So, as long as they were able to work, even though the machshava, you know, that they're working for Nazis in Machshamam, was obviously something which is very, very distressing. And whatever they could do to mess something up in a way that they wouldn't get caught, they would do. But my father said that was the only thing you can get a little chiyus from. Is by whatever, a job, like digging something. You had to find a little chiyus by making something, by doing something. You got a chiyus from that. And my father said the worst thing was, he remembers that as things were winding down and the Russians, the Americans were getting closer, so the Germans in Mach Shemam really did, they just couldn't afford or something to undertake new projects that they were taking the Jews over there to do. Like, it was terrible, crazy, you know, kind of jobs that they were doing. But my father said there was satisfaction, some satisfaction you got out of doing something, as horrible as it was. So my father said the worst thing was towards the end of the war, they were making a railroad. It was a railroad that they were building over there, outside the camp. And they had the bars, these very, very heavy iron bars on the railroad track, very heavy. You know, these are people that they weighed 50 pounds, 40 pounds, they hadn't, you know. And they were schlepping, they had to schlep these. So my father said that they were doing this for 2-3 months. If you drop it, they shoot you. You didn't get a chance to pick it up. The second you drop it, you're finished. So my father was going for 2-3 months. It was torture. But my father said, it was torture, but like, there was a certain chiyus that we were making something. And, you know, you're laying the things down, you see. Then he said that at some point, so the guy, the Russia over there that was in charge, started to tell them to take the iron things and to take them off. And so all they were doing for 2 months was putting them on to make, you know, a track or something. And he said to take them off. And then nobody asked, you're not allowed to talk, but the guy he was making fun of them. He said, they're not building anything here, there's nothing. It's just for you to an opportunity to hurt you, whatever, to make you crazy. And my father said they just made them take all this, and then he spent the next 2 months or something just carrying it back to a thing and putting it back down. My father said that the yeyush that they felt, the yeyush, the despair was, he said, the only thing you hold on a little bit was that you're doing something, you know. And you think that the Germans in the end are going to be destroyed, and that somehow someone's going to be able to use this track, you know, and it'll somehow be good. And then it was nothing. They just took the thing apart. It was like in Pissim and Ramses, you know. It was like in Pissim and Ramses, where the building garnish. It sinks into the ground. It's nothing. It's the worst avdus. And you feel you're not accomplishing anything. You're not creating. You're not doing anything. They made fun of them. It was just a joke. That's all it was. It's the worst thing. Ukeima sha'omru chazal. Chain mekach al mekach. That we know that Chazal tells us there's a special chain. When a person buys something and he's in a deal, there's a chain. He worked for something, he bought something, there's a certain chain that it has. Sheyesh l'maisi odom chain yuchad be'enef. You made something, you created something, you're selling this product, you invest it and you buy something, there's a chain that a mekach has. It's a big tanug. It's a very deep tanug, a pleasure, a delight that the soul has. Tanug otzam benefesh, loy parsheva hezber, mitzada sivas hashanis, which you can't just explain rationally, like, what is that? Adam roitza bekav shaloy, which Chazal say that a person has a deep attachment to his dal amas, what he's doing, to his portion of the world. Because he was created. He was created to bring this thing from Tohu into Tikkun. Omnam, however, Zokuk Adam, of course, a person needs Lekaspe Mechia. Of course, a person needs money to live. And it's such a beautiful world that Hashem made. A person is able to make a living, to be able to earn a living that he needs to support himself or his family, while carrying out simultaneously the tikkun that he needs to carry out. Derek Marshall, for instance. Tafkid aliyas malamed dardiki. If a person's tafkid is to be a teacher, v'derech sham mushpalei mamen hanitziv lo. Not only does he have the joy of being able to carry out his tachlis in life, which is to teach children, not only that, but if he's lucky, every now and then he might get a paycheck also, right? He gets paid for that. And it's not just being a teacher. You say, oh, that's Torah. So a lot of people think if I would be teaching Torah, I'd also be happy. But I'm not. I'm building a railroad track. Each person, whatever that tafkid is, of course, that itself is a big sugya to think about and to come to. And what is a person's tafkid? And these are things that are of course, that depend very much on his kaiches and his kishroinus and so on. And it's always hard. It's not always. It's very often hard to know for a person what is it. What am I supposed to be doing? But that's not what we're talking about now. But it's a world that Hashem made in which very often one can actually get paid for the tikkun that he's making. Really, that's like a bonus. That by way of teaching, not only does he have the joy, the chedvas, hayitzira, to be in the parish of Yesh Me'ayin, but he's also getting paid. Ach ein kesher ben shefer panos ha'vohel odom, the ben hayeyud v'hatafkid shenivik de lafika lapol. But the point here is not the money. That's not the tachlis. That's not the tachlis. The money, how much money, the money. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis is the tafkid and the yeyud. That's the tachlis. Not the money. In other words, the money should be seen as a matan schar betzida, as a matan schar betzida, but it's not the ikker. Of course, a person has to earn a living, and if it means and also he's not saying here that a person should be idealistic and only to earn a living in that field, which is the tafkid, you know, the tachlis of his life, because we know that according to the Torah. Well, certainly like this until recently in some quarters, there was nothing dishonorable about a person doing anything that's honest to make a living. It's become recently in some circles a dishonorable thing. But it was always considered to be, by the Torah and by Chachmei HaTorah, to be a very honorable thing to earn a living. The point here is that the tachlis is not whether it's this amount of money or that amount of money. If it is, it's like this, it's like that, it's gewaldig. But in that reality of a person's life, the simcha that comes with the tikkunim that he's able to make in that matzav that Hashem puts him, and his hashgacha pratis. And you could say from Heitner's Morgan, I never wanted to do that. Why am I doing this? How come Hashem put me into such a thing? I hate this job. I can't stand this job, and so on. And it also doesn't mean that a person can't change his job. And what hashgacha pratis is to be in a certain mahalach and to be in a certain kind of work, that's not for now. It's a very big subject. How much to work and how hard to work and how to figure that out vis-a-vis learning and davening and everything else. That's the sugya of hishtadlus and bitach, and that's not for now. Kol echad matar la'atzma. Each person with his own tachlis, with his own matar. Me'ayoyis shneim kruchim zevezeh. Now, because we see that in life, they're bound together, they're often wound up together. Hamon v'atafkid. Hamon v'atafkid, the money and the tafkid and the job and what you're supposed to be doing. They often come together. Okay, now said tishtush. This causes some confusion. This causes some mistake. Hamat'ek ki'ilu mataras avodahi amamin. A person begins to get the impression that my whole tachlis of the work that I'm doing is the money. Again, the money is a side thing. It's a bonus that Hashem made it that you don't have to divide your life into two parts. There's not enough time in the day. So Hashem has made it that what you need to do, you also get paid for. What you need to do, you also get paid for. But the tachlis is not the mammon. It's not the money. But it's very easy to fall into that. And from there, of course, a person can, God forbid, be dishonest and take money that's not his and to cut corners and to make all kinds of games with taxes and so on and so forth. Batal mammon, batal tafkid. The person thinks that if I would have all the money that I need, like those kids in Los Angeles, if I have all the money that I need, batal tafkid, I don't have to work. When I was growing up, I mean, I don't know how it is now, so I wasn't with camping. I wasn't a camper and whatever. It wasn't a big thing. Went a little bit a year or two, but that wasn't my thing. We were in the family, we were comfortable, but every single summer I went to work. There wasn't a havamina that I was going to stay at home and just to go, I don't know, with the guys to hang out, to play, whatever it was. Every summer, really everybody from the kids that had much, much less of a panache to the parents, to the families that were better off, everybody, all of us had summer jobs. We went to work. And it wasn't even something to consider, not doing it. It wasn't part of our parents' consciousness. It wasn't part of their world at all, that they should sit bottle and not do anything. It was understood that there's a tachlis in working. That there's a tachlis in working. And it wasn't even a question to say, but why do I need the money? I mean, what do I need the money for? You know, I don't need. They're paying me minimum wages to do something. You know, whatever, is to do these jobs. So I need to get these minimum wages. What for? It wasn't even to ask. It was that's what you do. That's just how you live. That's what you do. Bottle moment, bottle tafkid. So a person might think, you know, if I'm not getting any money, then I don't need to do anything. What's the curse of Adam Arishan? That you'll sweat, you'll work very, very hard, and that's how you're going to have bread to eat. Shachilas alechem tia krucha be'omal kapayim she'esh be'zeyas apayim. Person says, look, that's a curse. That's a curse. Adam Arishan was cursed that he's got to work hard to get something to eat.
Now,
Behayoisa tafkid nivcha hoylem el ha'adam. This is a problem that man has. That if he sees that being busy and doing something is only a hechatimtze, it's only an emtza'i, a means to having money to live, and that the whole thing and that whole inyan is just part of the klala. The klala is when a person doesn't realize that in this world, that avoida of taking toh and making tikkun, of ayin, making yesh, that the whole simcha, the whole chedvus hayitzir of a person is in that point. The klala, of course, is that a person needs that in order to be able to have money, in order to be able to support his family. That's a bitter parasha. That's a bitter parasha. But that's not because there's any bitterness in working and being creative. That's not the problem. The problem is that you're not going to have bread to eat unless you do something, and it's often back-breaking work. That's something else. But work itself, chashivus. Amnon hisala el rotzna Hashem isbarach. A person who lifts himself up to the rotzna Hashem. Barli dechut sairah. He's able to lift himself up and to have a shaychus to that light of before the chait of Adam Arishan. He feels a tremendous joy, a tremendous feeling of fulfillment in everything that he's doing in this world, in everything that he's doing in life. Not to say, ugh, if I did something else, I get more money, because the whole tachlis is money. That's a curse. That's a curse of life. But for a person to be before Adam Rishon's chait, to be before the chait, it means that every moment that I could spend in the world fixing and doing and creating and helping and whatever, that is the tachlis. The money, that's a side thing. Without any connection to the amount of money that you get paid for that. It's confusing because usually we're getting paid for what we do. So you begin to think that the ikur is not what you're doing. The ikur is getting paid. But the emes is, the ikur is doing. Hashem is Baruch made it in such a way that you could also get paid for that. But of course, what happens is people take the ikkah and make the tafel to make it the ikkah, and they see the whole tachas of doing anything is what? Is to make money. But if I didn't have to make money, if I got the lottery, or if I got some big Yerusha, oh, I wouldn't do anything. Then I wouldn't do anything. And he sees himself like in a, in a pool, sitting there on a raft with a drink and some novel or something, and he's free. That's the mistake that comes from misunderstanding the klal of b'zeh hapecha toich alechem. It's identifying yourself with the mammonis, with the money, with the emesis. The tachlis is the work itself. This was something that was very, very poshut to people in the older generation. And they weren't getting all upset and angry about how they had to go to work. They didn't see that as something which was outside, in addition. That was life. The more a person expects not to have to do anything and still to get money, the more likely he is to feel a terrible bitterness, having to work and having to make a living and so on. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to be free. Zeshom Chazal Hari Oisim Aisav Kepachtis Panasasi. The Gemara that talks about how every animal has what it needs. It's mechai. You never saw any animal standing on unemployment, in line or for welfare. The animals have what they need. They dredge a chihir and a hair, they go and they come, they run, they jump, they climb. They have a panasa. Only a human being has with this Indian like problems. He's out of work. You don't see that, but you don't see by animal. The animals don't have any mishalachim, they have nobody snoring. only by people. So the Gemara says, "Harei oisei ma'aseh v'kapachti es parnasasi," because I'm not doing what I should be doing in my life, therefore I threw away my parnasa. Haynu shemach mizroya ha'ma'aseh niskapcha chiyusa shlodim chadvosam hi'etzem tafkidei ha'chayim. On a deeper level, it means I'm throwing away parnasa. I'm throwing away that clear understanding of life, that being creative and being busy is itself mefan as a person. That's the ikar panasa. So I'm not happy with anything that I do, because the tachlis he made isn't the money, and not the work itself. So the actual jobs of life don't give him any satisfaction. My father was also very big with a garden. He had this little garden. And he always wanted me to come out there to do something. Whatever. At some point he gave up on it. But he was showing me, you know, when he cut this and to plant that. And then he would say, like, he said, doesn't that, don't you feel like good about that or something? I'd say I just want to go play with my friends, and my father wanted me to do stuff and to, you know, plant and to make the thing. I wanted to go. Everybody else was in the park, and I have to plant. But this is the it was so pushy to that generation that this is the most satisfying thing. How do you not understand that? It doesn't make you happy, like to put this thing, and then you see over the next couple of weeks it's going to grow. I was like, I'll just go to Key Food and get it. And I was like, I have to go over here. You have cucumbers. It's a couple of blocks away. I have to grow cucumbers in the backyard. And my father, it's like such a big thing with the cucumbers and this and that. And he comes to show me and come look at the cucumbers. And I always thought it was very beautiful cucumbers. Because there's such a sense of satisfaction in work and in doing something and being creative and so on. And there was no job that was considered to be demeaning or dishonorable. No such thing. As long as it's Ehrlich, there's nothing that's dishonorable. Everything is a Bekavadik thing. Everything is Bekavadik. There's nothing that's not Bekavadik. No such thing. So we throw this away. Unfortunately, we throw this away. A person was just, I wish I didn't have to make any money at all. And I had all the money that I needed. And I wouldn't have to be at this job. I wouldn't have to be working. He doesn't feel any simcha, any joy in the etzim of the work that he's doing with his own hands, that a person... That this is a terrible, terrible problem, not to feel that simcha. That's the simcha of a person. That's the pnimius, the sherish of a person, to be productive and to be creative. The commission will continue. He's going to take this all, of course, into Avodas Hashem. We'll see.